We had read to us a passage from Proverbs chapter 27, verses 5 and 6. Talking about a friend. Mentioning the friend. It's in there. And I want to consider that for this evening's topic, a good friend. And what I want us to do is, we all want friends, and we need to be good friends in order to have good friends. And I want us to look at what the Scriptures has to say about friends and what qualities we should look for in friends. You know, there are certain people that the Bible says we should not hang around with. Bad company corrupts good morals, 1 Corinthians 15:33. But there are people that we do want to hang around with. A good friend will encourage you. A good friend will support you. A good friend can be trusted. And many other things. And I want us to go ahead and look at that this evening. The New American Standard Bible has 120 occurrences of the word reference to friend or friends, friendship, etc. In it, all the way from Genesis through 3 John. So pretty much throughout the whole Scriptures, and a lot of them are in Proverbs or some of the other wisdom literature. And let's look at a few of them in Proverbs 17 and verse 17. We're not going to read every single one because, like I said, there's 120 of them. But I do want us to get a kind of an idea what the Scriptures have to say about friendship and friends and what we should be looking for and what is expected of a friend, those types of things. Proverbs 17:17, we read that a friend loves at all times. It says, and a brother is born for adversity. It's using the word friend and brother in a spiritual sense, I believe, but it's using those interchangeably. And the fact is that a friend, you expect a friend is someone that has that quality that they're going to love you. All right, it is an important quality for a friend. A friend loves at all times. That means that sometimes you're going to be difficult to live with. It happens to all of us. I've heard, some people maliciously say that's happened to me. Sometimes we're not lovable for whatever happened or whatever reason. Maybe that we're really stressed out. It may be that we're in pain. It may be emotional or something, but a good friend will love you through the difficult times. You've heard of fair weather friends. That's not a compliment. And people who want to be your friends when everything is going right in your life. But a good friend loves at all times, when it's easy and when it's not easy. And that's not just doesn't just apply to the people who are your friends. It applies to you too. As you want to be friends with other people. And in the very next chapter, in chapter 18 and verse 24, we read, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And basically he's saying that you can have a lot of friends and they may not be enough. But there are some friends that are going to stick with you through thick or thin. When like I said, it may be that you need more from them than they need from you, and yet they're going to be there for you. Not because they can get something out of it, but because they are close. And we see that, and we could go on and on that. Yeah, in chapter 27 of Proverbs, we had read to us verses 5 and 6, and I just want to touch on them again, but notice what he says there in verse 6. He says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Can you just imagine what the Holy Spirit was going through his mind as he was inspiring this to be written? He knew that Jesus was going to be betrayed by a kiss. But the first part of it, the contrasting point on that is that faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes a friend may need to hurt your feelings or may need to do something that you don't like, and it's for your own good. You've heard of tough love. A friend will be willing to do that even when it's something that they don't like because it will benefit you, because it will help you. They will tell you the truth when the truth is difficult. When everybody else is telling you what you want to hear, a good friend will tell you what you need to hear. A good friend will wound you if that is what is needed. And faithful are the wounds of a friend. In verse 17 of the same chapter, we read, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Somebody who is close to you, somebody who is your friend, will sharpen you as you should be sharpening them also. And so we see all these things. That's just, you know, four verses out of all the scripture that refer to friendships and friends and things like that in the scripture. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together unless they be of the same mind? If you've got a friend, are you going to be able to? How can you walk together with that person unless you guys are in agreement? Otherwise, you're going to go your way, and they're going to go their way. And basically, Amos is talking about making a reference to people walking with God. How can we walk with God? How can we be friends with God? Like Abraham was called a friend of God. How can we be a friend of God's if we're not of the same mind? And so, you know, there are many things that are talked about with regard to friends and to friendship. When you think about friendship in the Bible, probably one of the things that will come to mind is the friendship of David and Jonathan. And that's found in 1 Samuel chapters 18 through 20. And we're not going to go read those chapters, but I want us to think about several things that show up in there. There's the qualities that are seen. One is caring for the well-being of someone else, caring about what is good for somebody else. You know, Jonathan would get in trouble with his father Saul because he was protecting David, even at the risk of his own safety, and he would still protect David. He cared for David, and because they were friends, and there was sharing. You share time with your friends. One of the sayings that I like is two good friends can spend some time, never say a word, and both will walk away enriched because of the experience. And that's how close some friends are. You know, sometimes you just hang out with somebody, or you sit with somebody, or whatever. You don't have to say anything. You just enjoy their company. They enjoy your company, I don't recommend that every single time. Pretty soon, you know, you run out of things not to say. But sometimes that's what you do. You just spend some time together, and you encourage them, and you are also edified yourself because of that. That's a close friend. You know, there's different levels of friendship, and I'm talking about close friends, the ones the Bible talks about. There's trust in a friendship. You trust your feelings. You trust your friend so that you can tell them what you really feel about them. You don't have to cover. You don't have to walk on eggshells. You don't have to be, delicate with your words. You can be free with your words. You can say, you know, I really don't like this situation, or I'm really worried about this situation, or whatever. I'm not comfortable with something. And you freely trust that what you say to that person they're going to keep it in your best interest. They're not going to go gossiping things, and they're not going to go around using that against you. That's true friendship. Whether we trust them with our with what we say, what we feel, our thoughts, our frustrations, whatever it is, we can be open with our with close friends. There is a trust there it works both ways. There's forgiveness in true friendship because we do fail. Because as much as we fail, the other person is going to fail. And when they fail, sometimes that hurts a lot more than, say, somebody that you hardly know. And or we may have expectations of that person more than of somebody else. But we forgive when something happens. And it's just as important, like I say, I keep repeating, both sides. The person who does something wrong will ask for forgiveness, will try to make things right. And the one who's been wrong will forgive so that they can continue with the friendship. And they'll remember that they've done things themselves that they have needed to repent of. There's patience in true friendship. There's patience with the other person in their weaknesses, just as we would expect patience with our weaknesses. You don't deny them. You don't try to cover them up. You don't try to hide them. You don't try to justify them. You recognize that there are weaknesses, and you have patience with one another in true friendship. And I mean, this list could go on for the rest of the night. I'm just picking some that came to mind. There's loyalty in friendship. The loyalty to each other, to one another, especially when it isn't easy. Like I say, you know, anybody can be a friend when everything's going right, but you have loyalty to one another when things are not going easy, when the person is not being friendly, so to speak, or when you're not. Now, I want us to think about these six points there as I came up with them, because I just wanted to hold on to the thought, and then I want to apply them. Caring and sharing and trust and forgiveness and patience and loyalty. Now look at this. I just changed the top to from friendship to Jesus. And look at how they all apply to Jesus, because Jesus is our friend. Jesus is our good friend. He is the friend that is closer than a brother. He is the friend in the scriptures that we all need. The one that cares for us. Hebrews chapter 4. And we're not going to... Each one has only got one or two verses that go with it. But notice that Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. What he did because he cared for us and for all of mankind. It says, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He really cared for us. He cared to the point that he took on humanity, and that he was tempted in everything as we are, yet without sin. That he was able to experience all the things that we go through. That's how much Jesus cared for us. He didn't do that because he needed to do that. He did it for us because he is a good friend. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, he says, come unto me. He cares. He says, come unto me, all you who are tired and heavy laden, burdened down with the weights of the world. And I will give you rest, he says. He says, for my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, everybody come to me because he cares. Just like a good friend. Just like we saw that a good friend is a quality of a good friend. Sharing. There was a second one. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. Most of us will start with 5 and go on talking about how Jesus emptied himself. But notice the couple of verses before that. The verse right before that, Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. This is the one that Christ Jesus had. He was willing to share. Then he goes on to tell about what Jesus did. Being in the form of God, he emptied himself. And he took on humanity. He shared our humanity. That's what a good friend does. He came and he shared our problems. He took upon himself our problems. He showed us the way to do them right. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, and we're going to stick around there for the next thing that we're going to look at. But notice he had, in chapter 13, he had told them that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to die. And they were having problems. And he tells them in verse 14, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Notice with that, he's sharing. He's going to go and he's going to prepare a place for them, that where he is, that they may be also. He's going to share what he has. He says, don't be troubled. Because just because he's going to die doesn't mean that's the end of the story. And we know that. They didn't understand that fully. But we understand what he was saying. That he was going to come. Trust. That's what he's saying there in verse 1. Let's read it again. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Trust in God, also trust in me. Because he's a good friend. And you see, these qualities, we're going to see the next three also. How the qualities that we look for in a friend are the qualities that we should have. And they're the qualities that we find in Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and look to the next one, next couple. Forgiveness. Jesus, in Mark chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, he says, in order that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins here on earth. And he performed the miracle in order to, not just because he wanted to perform the miracle, in order that we may know that he has the authority to forgive. Jesus has the authority to forgive. Now, think about this. He doesn't need any forgiveness. And so when he forgives us, we are the beneficiaries every single time in that deal. We are always the ones that are being forgiven. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 22, when Jesus asked him, well, how many times do I got to forgive? 7 times? No, 70 times 7. You keep doing it. Jesus not only forgives, but he has infinite forgiveness. And he expects us to forgive also. He expects those who are followers to forgive one another. And so, again, we find that quality of a good friend in Jesus. What about patience? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 to 16, Paul makes an application to himself, about himself, with regard to Jesus. And it's good because notice in verse 15 and then in verse 16 how he applies that. In verse 15, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Jesus took this sinner and he demonstrated his patience and his forgiveness for him. He did that, and Paul says he applied it to himself. He says Jesus was demonstrating his patience. It's not that when we look back, a lot of times I hear people say, well, you know, I did this because God wanted me to go through this or do this. And we talk about something that we did evil in our lives or something because it was going to be used for good. God didn't cause you to do that. He didn't cause you to do that. You did that on your own. You're not going to blame God for that. But what he did was he took that and he turned it into good. That's all him. He turned whatever you did wrong into something good. And he lets you use it to bring to his glory. And that's what we need to remember. Not that God caused it, but that God took it and twisted it and changed it and made it grow and made it into something beautiful so that we could glorify his name. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, this is exactly what Peter's talking about when he says, you know, the passage says one day is as a thousand years is one day. He says that God is patient toward you. That patience is something that we look for in a friend, and that's a patience that the Lord has for us. And then the last one is loyalty. You know, this time in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, this loyalty of Jesus, it is so strong that even when we're unfaithful to him, he remains faithful. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. It is based on his very character to be faithful to us, to be loyal to us, to be loyal to himself, to his nature, to his character. And so these are all qualities that we look for, and these are all qualities that are found in Christ Jesus. And like I said, I could go on. I could add all sorts of other characteristics that are expected or that we should have in a friendship, and we could find them all in Christ Jesus. You know, we sing the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." We have a lot of other songs regarding being friends with Jesus. And I think we need to think about those when we sing them, because we get used to them. But we do have a friend in Jesus. He is a friend. He is patient toward us. He's loyal to us, faithful to us. He's forgiving in what we do. And remember, we're the ones that are benefiting in that relationship. In John chapter 15, he talks about being friends. In John chapter 15, verses 13 to 15, it's something that we really need to consider. Notice what we read there. John 15, starting in verse 13, he says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." And he goes on. Do you want to be a friend of Jesus? Do you want Jesus to be your friend? And you in turn be his friend? Do what he commands. And Jesus will consider you his friend. Just as he considered the disciples his friends. Do his commandments. You don't want to do his commandments? Then you don't have the right to call Jesus your friend. You just want to do the ones that are convenient for you? Can't call Jesus your friend. Because he doesn't consider you his friend. You're looking out for yourself. You're not looking out for him. Like I said, James chapter 2 and verse 23, Abraham was called a friend of God. And it's easy to kind of throw that out until you start thinking about what does God mean when he says that? What is God talking about when he says that Abraham was considered a friend? Just how important is that? Just how good is that in his life? Now, we should not go to the other extreme. Just because it is true that Jesus is our friend, he's also God. He has all authority, the Bible says. He reigns today. He is Lord of lords, King of kings. Okay? So we are friends with somebody that has all authority. We are friends with somebody who is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is God Almighty. It's important that we understand both aspects of that. We must never, ever treat him or his name with irreverence. Jesus is not our buddy or our bud or our homie. Jesus is our friend that we respect the authority that he has. He does not stop being God when he is considered our friend. And we do not speak to him irreverently because he is our friend. But because he is our friend, we respect his name. We don't use his name in vain. We don't throw out that name irreverently. When we pray to him, when we pray at all, we don't throw out that name without the respect that is due. Sometimes people go to that extreme. Think that, hey, he's my friend. I'm talking to him like, oh boy. You know, the man upstairs, I want to talk to the man upstairs. And don't do that. Talk to him with the respect that he deserves. You don't diss somebody who is your friend. When we speak to him in prayer, it must be in humility. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 through 11, teaches about that. About how we need to do things in humility. In all respects, but when we're talking to Jesus, sometimes we have the tendency to not talk to him with respect. How can I be a good friend? Let me go through this list pretty quick. It's not very extensive, but it's something that the Bible talks about. We've been talking about different aspects all during this whole lesson. Honesty. You've got to be honest. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 3. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have I? Go to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 3. We won't go to every single scripture that I'm going to put up here. But Proverbs 11 and 3 says, the integrity of the upright guides him, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. You've got to be upright. If you're going to be friend, you've got to be trustworthy. There's got to be honesty in you. Even if sometimes the other person doesn't appreciate it. Like some of the other things that we talked, characteristics we talked about. And that's what Paul is saying in Galatians 4. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? It's a rhetorical question. You've got to be giving because we see that in God. God gave his son, Jesus gave his life. The Holy Spirit gives to us. Whether it's time, advice, encouragement, whatever, you've got to be willing to give if you're going to be a good friend. And that's what you're going to look for in a friend. But you've got to be careful not to become an enabler. You don't want to give if the person, sometimes the person needs to be wounded, to be told the truth. And a good friend is going to be able to do that. You need to maintain your own purity. That's what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 16. We don't need to participate with the evil deeds of darkness. What fellowship do we have with all these different things that he talks about? We don't encourage evil when we are good friends. You let your love show. You're patient, you're trusting, kind, not jealous, not easily provoked or arrogant. If you're going to look for a friend, you're going to look for these qualities, and you need to have these qualities. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. I want to look at this one a little bit more in depth. Ephesians 5, 11. Paul says, shows both sides of the coin on this. He says, Ephesians 5, 11. He says, take no part or have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Now let's look at both sides of that. First of all, do not participate in the unfruitful works of darkness. Do not participate by encouraging them. Sometimes you encourage the unfruitful works of darkness by what you do, enabling them. And sometimes you encourage them by what you don't do, ignoring something that you should not ignore. Sometimes you do it through committing, and sometimes you do it by omitting acts. And so you need to be careful that you do not participate by encouraging them or by enabling them or by tolerating them. Any one of those participates with the unfruitful words of darkness, but instead even expose them. We should expose them. And that's, he's not talking about being a tattletale. He's not talking about running around, oh, I saw so-and-so doing this, and I saw so-and-so doing that. And you know what so-and-so said? And you know, that's just being a tattletale. That's just being a gossiper. All right? That's a sin in and of itself. What God is talking about when you expose them, that you let the light of truth shine on them. You expose the evil deed by telling them the truth, by showing them the truth, by letting God's light be on that deed. You expose or you uncover by the light of God's word. You teach that person. You make application. That's what he's talking about, exposing them. Not talking about being a tattletale or a gossiper. He's talking about teaching them the truth. Comparing what they're doing with what God says. That's what he's talking about. Don't participate, but rather expose them. That's how you can be a good friend. Let me get to the conclusion here. We all need friends. From the oldest to youngest, richest to poorest, it doesn't matter. We all need friends. And we have a true friend in Jesus. He gave his life for us to prove it. We need to recognize who our true friends are. And we need to follow his example in being a true friend. Are you? Are you a true friend? The question tonight is even more basic than that. Are you a Christian? If you're not a Christian, you're not a true friend of God's. As we've discussed previously, you are an enemy of God when you are in your sins. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. You become a friend of God when you accept the fact that Jesus died for your sins, and that you need to make Jesus a priority in your life. When you accept the free gift of God, you hear the word and you believe it. You repent of your sins and confess.